Thanks for tuning in to Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along. Well, hey, welcome. Thanks for joining us again for another episode of Conversations About Meaningful Things. This is Alex on the mic, and I have with me today...
Yeah, I'm Steve. Good Steve. To be together again. Those who are jumping in on the conversation, glad that you're here. Yeah. And we have our friend Dwayne with us. And so, Dwayne, glad you're here. We'll talk about how we know each other, but just maybe introduce yourself real quick.
Yeah. My name is Dwayne Ramsey, and... been a lifelong atheist right up until about 4 months ago.
Wow. And that's about when our paths intersected. I had this young lady at our church who started seeing this young guy, and then that blossomed into them getting engaged, and then found that his family was starting to show up as well, and that's your son. And I know they're looking forward to getting married soon. And my wife and I are spending some time with them helping prep for that. So you just said something that may have shocked some people. Mm. You said you have been a lifelong atheist until about 4 months ago. And we're probably of the same vintage, I would guess. And so that's a vast majority of your life at this point. You know, I'm guessing north of 50 years. And so why do you think that was the case? Was God or the concept or idea of God something that you just never had exposure to? Was it, you were mad at life circumstances and figured there's no way there is a God? Like, how did that develop in your life?
My mother and father were not religious.
Okay.
I followed in their footsteps. Yeah. And even though I have been exposed to some religion, I just never heard it in the way that I think God would have wanted me to hear it. Hmm. I had my ears closed, I'm sure, at this point.
Wow. It's interesting you use that phrase, because lots of times when Jesus taught, he said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Yeah. I don't know if you were thinking about that, but it just struck me when you said that. So you went, decades of just, did you figure there was no God, or God wasn't important or significant, so who cares?
I guess I would vacillate between, okay, there could not be a possible God. It's just, no. There's the Big Bang, and then here we are umpteen millennia later.
Right.
And then sometimes I would think, maybe there could be a God, but which God is it?
Right.
But the Buddha sounded pretty cool to me for a little while, but he's just a guy. Yeah. I couldn't get on board with a deity.
So the idea of a personal God, it sounds like maybe you had the idea that there might be a God somewhere that kind of wound things up and is like they're just winding away, but not a personal, involved, cares about humanity God.
I don't know if... I'm probably dating myself. I used to like to read comic books, and I read a comic book called The Watchmen, late 90s.
Yeah.
They made a movie out of it a few years after, but there's a guy in there, Dr. Manhattan, that he basically alluded to that we are a clock without a craftsman. Mm. And because I was an atheist, that was like my catchphrase.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever told anyone this, but it just seemed true.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's good,
but that's honest,
it
right?
It is honest.
So,
and I would venture to say is probably what a lot of people that's their thinking. Like, this is all there is. You mentioned something before we started recording, Duane, that I thought was really interesting too. You said for a majority of your life, things were for the most part good, right? Like, you had a family that you loved, wife, kids, those things. It was like things were sort of just happening in your life that were good. But you also mentioned there was a little bit of that sort of, is this all there is kind of thing as well. Curious if maybe you could expound on that a little bit.
I have had a good life. I have a loving family. I have had good jobs. I've been very stable. But there have been long stretches of wondering what really is the meaning of life. And even though I have enjoyed my time with my family, it just seems so limited.
Yeah.
Well, I spent just short of 2 years in Afghanistan as a contractor, maybe less than a decade ago. Wow. And you are faced with a lot of solitude there. And it was tough. I was very alone, and it really got difficult. I had to get home because I didn't have any backup. I felt so isolated.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, alone with our thoughts, alone with, you know, feeling not just alone, but maybe feeling lonely. And in isolation, you know, you use the word solitude. I tend to think of solitude as I like moments of solitude in my life. They're reflective for me and allow me to be introspective and spend time with God in that way. But I suppose there's a fine line between solitude and feeling in isolation. And so it sounds like you've had pockets of those dynamics happening in your life where you stop and wonder, like, okay, I mean, there's kind of good things happening. I've accomplished some things, but for what? For what's the point, right?
Right.
Yeah. And as you look back, is there any single thing, or is it a series of things where the mortar of those bricks started to come loose a little bit?
Yes. I didn't know what I was starting when I did it, but, and this is silly to me to think it, to even say it, but I'm sure you guys have heard of or seen the movie Polar Express.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
We all have kids.
Yeah.
Of course we've seen Polar Express, right?
It's classic.
It's a kid's movie. But there is, towards the end, the little boy can't see Santa. And he wants so desperately to see.
One of the things, Duane, you mentioned was the idea of God for a lot of years was like a fairy tale, like Santa Claus
Easter
or something
Bunny.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. It's a cute story or idea maybe, but it's not based in reality. So seeing this little boy wanting to see Santa so much spoke to you in a certain way, didn't it?
Absolutely. I saw the movie and I didn't think of Santa. I mean, sure, it was fun when I was a kid, but
yeah.
I I think I always wanted to reach out to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came bubbling up.
Wow.
And it was enough. And my son being in church and my wife being interested in going back.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, I've been a lifelong atheist. Why do I believe that?
Yeah.
Do I have any evidence of that? And I felt like the biggest fraud because I should have at least investigated a little bit.
Right.
And I didn't. So I resolved that I would investigate.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much right around Christmas because that's when the movie, when we were watching it.
Yeah.
And so I...
Well, I'm glad you're watching that and not like Home Alone or something.
Which is great. I love it.
I think it's so cool too. I believe firmly like God is, he is, there is nothing that he won't use in our life, no circumstance or person or thing that we could consider coincidence. In fact, Steve says something that coincidence is only when God doesn't get the credit, but God uses things as silly to say as a movie,
yeah,
to go, hey, I'm pursuing you. I want you to know me, and to put that in front of you. I think, man, that's just amazing.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, after I've gone through so much in just these few months, that it just feels so much better.
Yeah.
And now I know that that God was there, that he's been trying to reach me my whole life. And I have worked so hard to not pay attention. It's unfortunate, but I'm glad that I got on board before the end.
So you mentioned that kind of prompted you to ask yourself some really... really hard questions, quite honestly. Like, okay, this is what I think I believe, or this is the position that I've had, but why have I done that? Like, if I can't back up these thoughts or this philosophy or ideology that I've had, then I really need to consider that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so did you specifically look in one direction, like how can I prove that? How can I see the proof of God, or how can I check the veracity of Scripture? Like, what was there a focus to you responding to that question that you asked yourself?
I do what I always do now. I do a internet search on what, if I was an atheist, where would I go to find proof of God?
Yeah.
And so I looked for several days and I settled on The Reason for God. A book that came out in 2008, I think.
Tim Keller, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
It was thorough. It took me weeks to complete it. And by the end, you have to be convinced that Jesus was real.
Yeah.
That all that stuff that happened way back when, sure seems like that really happened.
Yeah. Well, there's historical record, and then there's the way people choose to interpret the historical record.
Sure.
You know, we're in the spring season. There's definitely historical record that this guy named Jesus from Nazareth existed, that he was he died a criminal's death on a cross, that afterwards they couldn't find him in the grave. Like, but how people choose to interpret that, you know, looks a little bit different, but those facts are all there, right?
And, right.
You know, Tim Keller's book, it's curious you mentioned that. Our son, who lives in Brooklyn, attends the church that Keller was the pastor at. And that's a great book. I think there's some others like Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
The Case for Christ.
Case for Christ, Case for Faith. Yeah. So if you're listening and you're like, wow, what are some of these resources? Like, there's a handful of them right there. And so as you went through The Reason for God, and you said it took you a few times, like you were really, really digging in and considering, and you're just spending some time. It wasn't like a quick thing there.
No, this was the focal point of my life for a while. Hmm. And my wife was just sort of she's always been very supportive. And well, once I started getting involved, she was happy to participate, and she was doing her own thing.
Yeah.
And she found the movie, The Case for Christ. So we watched that too.
Yeah.
And it paralleled The Reason for God quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, Duane, just in your story and what you're describing, it's like you started your journey very intellectually and asking really good questions. Like, okay, I've gone my whole life saying I don't believe in a God at all, to going, hey, I've never actually given this an actual fair shake. I should do that.
Right.
And gathering the evidence and those kind of things. But what was that moment from, okay, there is a case that this Jesus existed historically, but what was that moment for you where it went from facts to, okay, maybe this is real, to coming to that realization that, and this God who is real loves me, and I want to put my faith in him, and almost that transition from the head knowledge of, okay, this could be a possibility, to I want to put my faith and stake my life on this Jesus. What was that moment for you?
It culminated with Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Mm. He put into emotion everything that I had already just read.
Wow.
Not only is God real, but everything that I feel, have felt, will feel, it's written in my heart.
Yeah.
And I feel so much better now.
Mm-hmm. It's like you found that thing that you've been searching for your whole life, right?
Yeah. Was it C.S. Lewis who said that every person has a God-shaped vacuum in their heart? Was that Lewis? Ooh. I have to look that up. We'll have to figure that out. But I that quote has stuck with me, that every person has a God-shaped vacuum. And, you know, the idea of that is there's that can only be filled by a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else that fits that.
Yeah.
And when that clicked for you, Duane, that was life changing, wasn't it?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
If you guys think I cry a lot now, when that happened, we were also watching The Chosen, and Jonathan Rumi, I know he's just an actor, but I couldn't watch Jesus and not just start bawling because he is love incarnate. Mm. And I mean, who wouldn't want to meet Jesus? Who wouldn't want him right there telling you everything to do? Anytime I think about it, I get overwhelmed by his sacrifice. It's too much. How could anybody so perfect? It's too much for words.
Yeah. You know, Duane, one of the things that people know about me is I like a good deal, and I like finding a good deal. And, you know, there's the old saying that anything's only worth what someone's willing to pay for it, right? And, you know, the thing that we see and know about God is how much he values us, because Jesus paid everything for us. So that's how much we're valued as individuals. And when you say it's too much, we look at it from our perspective and think, you know, sometimes we struggle with, I'm not worthy of all of that. But the beauty is God declares that we are worthy, and he's already done the work to demonstrate our worthiness and how valuable we are as individuals to him, right? He paid everything for each one of us. Yeah. And so it's that kind of that paradox of feeling unworthy, feeling like it's too much, and God saying, but it's just right. It's everything. That's how much I love you.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to cry.
Yeah. And so how has your, you know, family or friends, people that, you know, understood the Duane of prior to, say, 6 months ago, has there been any observation or response, or even people asking you, like, hey, Duane, what's going on? You know, has there been any of that?
I'm somewhat of a recluse and probably will be for most of my remaining life.
Right, well, it's a good thing that this is a podcast and not a video thing.
But I do have a circle of friends, and I did mention that I got baptized a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that they were a little bit curious, but I think that they were largely in the same camp that I was in. I don't know what their experience is, because religion rarely would come up in discussion.
Sure. Well, I mean, right? Stereotypically, that's one of the two categories we are never supposed to talk about, religion and politics, right? I do remember, Duane, because I had the privilege of being there for your baptism, that there was some extended family who shared with me how thrilled they were, and that they've been praying for your journey for some time, and seeing you make that public declaration of your faith in Christ was, I believe for some, a decades-long answer to prayer, which is amazing when you think about God working, you know, maybe behind the scenes a little bit. You know, I don't know if those family members came up to you at every family gathering and said, hey, I'm praying that you find Jesus, you know. Yeah. But to know God was at work that whole time.
My big brother, Kevin, he is just a great guy. He would give you the shirt off his back. He would help any way he could. And I know that he's been praying for me for most of my life.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now we're trying to get my sister on board with this, because she's in the hesitant camp.
Yeah.
And it's like you want to have a velvet cupboard hammer. you don't want to come on too strong, but all I know is how good I feel now versus how I didn't before, and how complete I feel my life is.
Yeah.
Duane, you said something to me at one point, which has stuck with me. And I'm thinking about when Jesus talked about having faith the size of a mustard seed, which basically means just the tiniest bit of faith, and God can work with that. And you said something similar to me when you said, I didn't realize how little it took for me to believe so much and so strongly now, because I know how much I didn't believe before. And how has God taken that little bit of belief, and even in 4 or 5 months, been growing that in your life?
Yeah.
I feel like a different person, because now I see things through a lens of a believer. I can look out in my backyard, and it isn't a big bang and evolution zoo back there. God made this. He made it all.
Yeah.
And it's been part of a plan since the beginning.
Right.
And it's just amazing. I really feel like I was on death row, and I had a stay of execution with just a little bit of belief.
Yeah.
I am different. I feel different.
Yeah.
My wife tells me I'm different. All I can do is recommend it. Give it a try.
Yeah.
If you have any doubt, just investigate. Yeah. You'll find it.
That's,
you know, you say I was on death row and had a stay of execution. Well, I'm going to take it even a step further. You were set free.
Yeah,
true.
You're
I'm thinking about it backwards.
The death penalty wasn't just delayed; it's eliminated.
Yeah,
And that's a game changer, right? That's not just a game. That's a life. That's an eternity changer. And I'm so appreciative of getting to walk this road a little bit with you, and really excited for you. You know, one of the things that Jesus invited us to is to follow him. So it's not that, you know, just one thing happens and that's the end of the story. It's really we're on a lifelong journey and relationship with him that extends into eternity. And so I think, you know, one of the things that sometimes people, and I know you and I talked about this, Dwayne, we sometimes can look back over decades of time and have feelings of regret, like, oh, what have I missed out on, or what, you know, I wish that, or I wish that, you know, we've talked about that a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, one of the promises we see in Scripture is God saying, I will redeem those years. Mm-hmm. I will restore what the locusts have eaten. And that the locusts kind of representing the, you know, the lean years of the spiritual battle that we're mm-hmm. in. And you have decades of that, but God can fill the remaining years so that those early years are just in the rearview mirror and a distant memory and not filled with regret.
Yeah.
And I would encourage the idea that when we look back, instead of looking what wasn't there, we can look back and see, as you said, through a different lens, and we can see what was there and how God was at work, loving me, caring for me.
It's your story.
And drawing me, And everybody's story is different. That's the beauty of it, right? Mine's different than yours, Alex's, different than yours, Dwayne's.
Yeah.
But that doesn't diminish any of them at all.
Yep, exactly. And I was going to ask Dwayne, because I think probably all of us, if you're listening to this and you are a believer, and maybe you're listening and you're checking the faith stuff out and you're like, what is this about? I know for me, I have friends and family who are in the same camp that you used to be, some who grew up in the faith and have since walked away for various reasons. A lot of it's their own hurt and wrestling with that and kind of feeling like God let them down is some common struggle I hear. But what would you say to somebody if you had the opportunity, they're sitting across the table from you and just going, Dwayne, like, I hear you, I hear your story, but I don't know if I'm convinced or I've been hurt too many times. How can I know that this God is real, that he really loves me? What's an encouragement that you'd give somebody that's maybe on the fence with faith or isn't sure about God? What would you say to them?
I can give you two answers. The academic answer for me is Pascal's wager, where you are faced with there is a God, there isn't a God. You believe, you don't believe. And there really isn't a downside to believing, but there is a massive downside to not believing. Wow. And so let's say you believe and there is no God. What have you lost?
Yeah.
You get to live a moral life. I haven't seen too many people around the church that seem like they're unhappy.
Yeah.
I think it's a good roadmap for life. But God does exist.
Yeah.
What have you got to lose? Just try it. And the non-academic answer is that I feel Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in me now.
Yeah.
And I can't recommend it enough. it's the greatest feeling I've ever had. I love my wife. I don't want to diminish our marriage, but this is different. This is a father welcoming his son home. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. You know, it's been said there's nothing more powerful than the testimony of a changed life. No one can argue with that. And you are encouraging us with that testimony. We're excited with you and just so grateful for whatever those things were that God set in order that allowed you to ask those really important questions of yourself, that put those resources in front of you to lead you to him, and to, as you just gave us that picture, to just allow you to step into his open arms of welcome as a father to That's his right. son. So, Dwayne, thanks for joining us today in this conversation. We really appreciate it. I feel like we could hang out for, you know, quite a long time, and maybe we'll do that again down the road. But if you're listening today, and you know, maybe you've walked some of the same steps that Dwayne has walked. You know, hear the full story. Don't get stuck somewhere along the way. And his encouragement to investigate, check out. And if you need help with that, we'd be happy to help you and try and point you in good directions. If you want to reach out to us, you can just simply email us at podcast@victorchurch.org. And we'll look forward to hearing from you and trying to help you in any way we can. But again, Dwayne, thanks for being here. Alex, always good to see you.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll join us again for another conversation about meaningful things.
Bye, guys.